special report, coronavirus pandemic. Wall Street roared back to life this morning, one day after the historic drop.
As expected, the Dow Jones Industrial Average shot up the moment the opening bell rang, more than 1,000 points. It retreated a little bit after that, but an hour into the trading session, it was still up 700 points. Lots of investors saw what they felt were discounted stocks and started buying shares. Apple was up more than 5%, Disney up more than 7%.
Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum in New York. The NASDAQ now up 3.6%, the S&P up 3.3%, the Dow up 2.8%. Another reason for the upturn, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin telling CNBC talks are going well with House Democrats on providing funding and resources for individuals and for businesses.
We're going to get through this and the economy will be a little stronger than ever.
Reports from Brazil now that President Bolsonaro has tested positive for coronavirus days after spending time with President Trump in Florida. I'm Michael Toscano. The White House has just announced that President Trump will speak again today about the coronavirus and will hold a news conference at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Meanwhile, Fox Business News is reporting there is a White House meeting going on about President Bolsonaro's positive coronavirus test. Lead expert on the White House task force, Dr. Anthony Fauci, is responding to criticism over delays in coronavirus testing and a lack of proper materials. Fauci telling MSNBC those problems are being resolved.
There was a disconnect there for sure. We have to admit that. It's unfortunate, but it's going in the right direction right now. No denying there was a bit of a disconnect where people hear that a test could be available to anybody and they go into a doctor's office and they didn't get it. That's unfortunate, but what we're looking now is looking forward.
More delays. The Masters Golf Tournament has been postponed until some unspecified later date, and news from the mayor of Boston that the marathon is postponed until September. I'm Michael Toscano.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. The great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
For today, mostly sunny, 71, 54 overnight, south wind at 10, sunny and 72 on Saturday, 54 Saturday night, southeast wind at 10, sunny and 75 on Sunday.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here and partner George Davis, Yuma Investment Group. We're in here to talk probably about what's going on in the market. That's the elephant in the room, so I guess we got to talk about it.
Yeah, probably a good idea. Here's Friday the 13th, too.
Mm.
Realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're wearing black today, George.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife's favorite number, 13, so.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Our birthday's on the 13th.
Okay. So.
And our son's is on the 13th.
I see.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's talk about what's going on a bit. As you guys might be aware, at least we're getting a bounce today, so that's good. Market was down close to 25% from the high. Basically, the big question we're getting is, you know, where is this thing going? What does it mean? And so and so. Naturally, with the virus thing, no one really has an idea of what that impact's going to be. And, you know, personally, I think a lot of it's just mental, you know, fear kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, in February, just a month ago, Tom, the, you know, GDP was looking good, job growth was looking good, so the economy is still humming along, and then we got this, so it's really the uncertainty, like you said, the fear of how long it's going to last.
So what they're kind of predicting, or I guess guessing, is the GDP in February was 3.1%, and they think it's going to drop. They're going to look at it for the quarter, which is January, February, March.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, March is going to be a
quarter one.
Tougher month because everyone's canceling, not traveling. So they think it's going to basically be down to maybe 1.5 to 2% because of the March number.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following quarter, they think a 0% GDP. And then they say the second half of the year, they're predicting maybe a 3.5 to 4% GDP. And one of the things they said is if you looked at all the other flus that came out, there was a flu in 1968 called the Hong Kong flu. There was another one called the swine flu in 2009. And basically, with, you know, GDP gets hit when it breaks out. But then on the backside, everyone goes out and spends more money or replenishes what they're doing. So there's usually always a balance after these breakouts. With all the other breakouts.
So they're talking also possible recession, Tom, and that's a negative GDP for two quarters in a row, correct? I remember my economics.
I think it's three quarters, isn't it?
Is it? Two or three, but
I think it's three quarters. Doesn't mean you have to have a negative GDP. Doesn't mean that it just has to be going negative. Meaning,
okay,
like if you have a 4% GDP, then it goes to 3%, then it goes to 2%, then it goes to 1%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, three in a row of
declining
GDP.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we should Google that because, you know, different.
A period of temporary economic decline during which trade and industrial activity are reduced, generally identified by a fall in GDP in two consecutive quarters.
Two quarters.
So I was right with the two, but you were right with the falling.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so quarter one, they're projecting a little bit falling, and in quarter two, they're thinking it's going to be the worst one. So.
Yeah, which would be, April, May, June.
Mm-hmm.
And then they think the second and a half. You know, hopefully we'll come back.
Yep.
So I got some stats on some numbers of the downturn. So, believe it or not, in June of 1981, due to the HIV/AIDS epidemic, I guess that broke out, and the market was down, in 6 months, market was down 6.6%, but it had a pullback of about 16% in that time frame. And that was actually the biggest down pull besides what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Second one was the pneumatic plague, which was in September 1994. That wasn't much. Market dropped about 6%. So there's a whole list of about 10 of them on here, and basically, you know, the pullback was within 6 months, and then usually looking at 12 months, it's, you know, positive back up.
Mm-hmm.
So, but here's what I would like to tell people, and this is a famous quote from Mike Tyson. I used it at the Chamber Mixer yesterday, that everyone has a plan to get punched in the face. and a lot of people should have a retirement plan or investment plan or whatever you call it, and then naturally we got punched in the face here in the last couple weeks. And a lot of times that means that the point being is, you know, more likely than not, you probably want to stick to the plan. Because it's the emotion side is what causes people to kind of derail, and then they, you know, at some point have to figure out when, you know, and I say derail meaning they want to get out of the market, and then And the second half of that is you got to figure out when to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I'm trying to emphasize, especially with my clients, is, you know, you can look at this as a half glass empty or half glass full scenario. And if people have bond money or cash, you know, a lot of people, as they get older, they're not 100% in the stock market. So if you are, that's tougher. But basically what you want to try to do is position your bond money back over to the market when you think it's bottomed. Now that's the big unknown, you know, the bottom. But in general, you know, that's what I would look for. Look for opportunity more than you know, crying in your tears or whatever you want to call it.
So they talk a lot about rebalancing right now. So you're saying rebalancing can be actually taking some of that bond money, the dry powder, if you will, and putting that to work in the market, as opposed to the other direction where you're getting more conservative right now.
Yeah, I mean, human nature, when the markets drop, people, you know, kind of want to get out, and when it goes back up, they want to get back in, which is really the exact opposite of, you know, what you should be doing. So my point is, if you have some extra ammunition somewhere, money or bonds, what you want to do is basically, you know, sit tight or put that money back to work at some point. Now, interesting enough, you know, in the end of 2018, from October to the end of the October, November, December of 18, the market dropped about 16%, and then it rebounded back up. So if you look at our market right now, it's still a little higher than where it was at the end of 2018. And that was even after that 16% drop. So definitely is wiping out some earnings, or I mean, wiping out some money by the stock market dropping. But if you look back a year or so, I mean, it's pretty much, we were there about a year ago.
Right.
And so, you know, and the thing about people, and I don't blame them because that's how they think, but a lot of people will look at their statement when it peaked out. You know, like, for example, I believe the peak was in February, first, or end of January, February. And then they look at where it's at now, and you say, hey, the market's down X. And they're like, well, you know, the peak was here. And, you know, so you know what I'm talking about, right? You get
peak, that's a good point, Tom, because a lot of phone calls, as you imagine, we get a lot of phone calls. But everything's peak to trough, that's what I call it. So people are like, well, I'm down from the all-time high, and then down right now, whatever, 15% or 10 or 20, whatever it is, but they always seem to look at like their last time that they were at the very highest point. So,
yeah.
So if you kind of put it in perspective, like you're saying, with like a year return or even year to date, because, you know, we were off to a pretty good start this year through February.
Seven, 8%.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So longer time horizon, and absolutely.
Yeah. And the other thing to consider, too, is if you're putting away money on a monthly basis, would be to try to put away more money in these downturns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Dollar cost average, but put more away. So what I mean by that is, say you're putting away $200 a month for 12 months, which is, what, $2,400? You know, maybe try, if you have the means, maybe try to dump more money in, and then towards the end of the year, you can just cap it off. The same amount of money, but just flood it in quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea you're buying when things are down.
Yeah. And that is one of the, like you're saying, people, that's one of the tough choices right now. Everybody, you know, the fear factor, the unknown. So if you're going to put some of that bond money to work in the stock market, that's a difficult choice. But I think the 401k, or if you're contributing to an IRA or a Roth, now is a good time to be putting that, you know, that money to work.
Yeah, so a lot of people, you know, kind of wait toward the end of the year to fund an IRA or Roth. So what you're saying is fund it at the beginning of the year, you might have better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have some money, you can fund it now as opposed to wait. And even 401k, I've seen people get conservative in their 401k, and they're putting money in, and their employer is matching. And they're like pulling back and getting more conservative. And, you know, that's the exact opposite of what you would want to do when you're putting money to work and buying in, dollar cost averaging.
Actually, new money flowing in, you want to probably get more aggressive with that money.
Right, exactly.
You know, even if you're getting close to retirement, because odds are in your favor, you know, after the downturn, it'd come back around.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take our first break here. This is Money Talk, 5:06 a.m.
With Americans enjoying longer and more productive retirement than ever, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, we specialize in solid, dependable financial advice designed to work for you towards your objectives in retirement. Whether your personal situation requires low volatility liquid assets or longer-term investments with potentially higher investment returns, it's important to first discuss your options with a trusted financial advisor. For more information or to schedule a consultation, call 329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC. With Americans enjoying longer and more productive retirement than ever, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, we specialize in solid, dependable financial advice designed to work for you towards your objectives in retirement. Whether your personal situation requires low volatility liquid assets or longer-term investments with potentially higher investment returns, it's important to first discuss your options with a trusted financial advisor. For more information or to schedule a consultation, call 329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA. SIPC.
Derek Eggenberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggenberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggenberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Correct. Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis. George is asking questions before we get started here.
Good morning, Yuma. Morning, Russ. How you doing? Good morning to you.
I've been having a great time all morning, man.
Yeah?
Wait, I've been here since 4 o'clock this morning. My phone's been ringing off the hook.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, a lot of coronavirus, a lot of market stuff, and a lot of stuff going on.
Speaking of, it's 344-5258. Money Talk. Give us a call if you have any questions about your...
Anyone wants to cry on our shoulders, we're here to help you.
That's right. There's some of that going on.
Hey, so you got a text from somebody.
Well, yeah, it says, ask them, which is a huge issue now. How should one cover their margin accounts that are being called in? Sell gold or other commodities or go to credit?
So, I will answer that my way. I don't know if it's right or not, but I do want to bring up the fact that in Yuma... I mean, pretty much none of our clients have margin. And I would say in the United States, it's just a wild guess, like maybe 2% of the people have margin.
And those are bigger traders that are doing that.
Yeah, using other people's money.
Yeah, why don't you explain what margin is?
So basically, you have securities or bonds or some type of position, and the brokerage companies will let you borrow on it, and they charge you a rate.
Mm-hmm.
And the rate's not overly cheap. I think it's right now about 8% or so. I haven't looked at it in a while. I'm sure if you have more money, maybe you can haggle it down.
Does the rate go down with rates? Interest rates are not really tied. Would it be good right now with the rates?
Well, it fluctuates. It will go down with rates. But basically, you're still paying a higher rate.
You're borrowing money to
You can borrow money from the brokerage companies, and then you have more buying. And then eventually, if you sell something, you can pay it up back. The good thing about margin is there's no fee to get in. You know, there's no charge to have margin. There's really no charge to pay it off. So you can use it in and out as much as you want, kind of like a line of credit. The problem is with margin is if you have things drop a lot, the brokerage companies want you to keep a certain ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, I haven't done it in a long time, but it used to be, I believe, 50%, 60% you had to have in equity. And if you don't, then you get a margin call. Margin call means you got, I believe, 24 hours to get the money or to basically sell something to cover it.
Right.
So I think what I would do to answer this question, because things are so cheap, I think I would go to the credit. He's saying to use other people's money to pay it off, right?
Well, he says go to credit or sell gold or commodities.
Well, credit's cheap, right?
Cheap as it's been for a long time. Yeah.
Gold's actually been kind of going back up. And
not as much as I would have thought. I would have thought it would have been, because of all the panic and the hype and everything, it would have made some big jumps. But right now it's at $16.75 an ounce. It really hasn't made huge strides. Yeah. Silver's actually down slightly.
I think it was because it was already, $1,300, $1,400 before they started last time.
Even in 08, okay, so your question was, we haven't had a 20% correction, which is...
Bear market.
Well, call it correction, since 08. So basically, this is kind of overdue. But even in 08, when things dropped, a lot of things dropped, even gold dropped for a while. It rebounded back a lot quicker. But, when people get scared and they start dumping everything, that kind of affects a lot of things. The 10-year treasury went down to 0.7%. Can you guys believe that?
Oh.
The treasury, less than
1%. The yield went down to 0.7%.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. Cheap money for, that's the best return on your money. But, rates are really low. And, it's interesting with the 10-year treasury and the 15 and 30-year treasury. A lot of time the mortgage market will go down, we'll follow that rate. So if rates go down, the mortgage rates go down. A lot of you noticed in this downturn, but the mortgage rates pretty much stayed. They capped down and wouldn't go any lower. I don't know why that was, but usually there's a direct correlation with rates going down, mortgages drop. Well, I think they didn't drop in coordination to what the bond market did.
Mm-hmm. Well, the repo, the repurchasing back from the government is starting today. $500 billion in 3-month repo operation that actually starts today. So
and
the government's stepping in to buy some of those treasuries to help support that.
You got a phone call, George.
All right.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah,
we got you.
Okay. Question. Being that I have you as my advisor, and if the stock market drops or rates or whatever, do we need to come in and say, hey, we want to do this or do that? And then if we make money off that, is that going to be counted as income?
So it depends. Don't give us details because but in a nutshell, if it's in a retirement account, then it wouldn't count as income. But if you had it in a non-retirement account, it's a retirement account?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So you wouldn't have any income tax or anything like that unless you withdrew some money out of the retirement account. So that's why retirement accounts are good, because you can switch things around and not have any tax repercussion.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Okay, thank you.
Well, and then the second half to your question was, what point do things get moved around of that? Not knowing what advisor you have in the office, I don't recognize your voice, so it's not mine. But anyways, you do want to basically stay in contact and figure out what positions you have. And, if you're heavy in the market, then you probably need to make the decision of just kind of grinding your teeth and waiting it out. But if you have some safer money, then at some point there would be some opportunity to get back in. So I think it's kind of a conversation to have with your advisor.
Yeah, definitely. And we've been really working on communication with our clients through these times and to actually improve that. With we sent out an email, I think it was yesterday, Tom, and I got about three or four responses that people could just email back and say, hey, you know, I want to meet with you, or, you know, this is one of my concerns, and they had a question. So it's a way to, you know, talk to your advisor other than calling and waiting or seeing if they're there. So pretty neat. But sure appreciate that phone call.
So basically, there's opportunity out there if things bleed out even more, and that's the unknown. Now, I don't really think you have even a handle on who has it in the U.S. And I think
what do you mean, the coronavirus?
Yeah, I think it says up to 1,600.
Yeah, but the amount of people they tested is small, small, small.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I know in South Korea, they tested like 250,000 people, and here it's like thousands. I mean, it's not even close.
Oh, right? Yeah, as of last week, it was like 1,800.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't very many. And they say they're going to get 77,000 tests out by the end of this week.
By
that doesn't mean
week?
They're going to use them. It just means they're available.
Mm.
Take a phone call. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Here, I don't know, a year ago or more, the big hype was about Bitcoin. Is there any update about Bitcoin? And I'll wait for your answer on the phone, on the radio.
Thanks, sir. Bitcoin's taken a big dive in the last week or so.
You know, that's another area that we pretty much stayed out of, and mainly because our broker-dealer was LPL Financial. And they wouldn't allow us to get any type of that type of currency or Bitcoin.
A week ago it was over 9,000, and right now it's 5,371. So,
yeah.
The Bitcoin owners aren't you know selling today.
Yeah.
They're holding.
So it's down almost a.
And I really thought that Bitcoin would have been a go-to like gold or silver, and silver's gone down slightly, and gold's gone up very little. So it's not been bad. I don't really know where it's going and what's happening.
The thing about Bitcoin is, I think they think it's very, very volatile, very aggressive type investment that really hasn't proved itself. So again, they won't even let us buy it. You can't buy it on the New York Exchange or that, or any of those Nasdaq exchange. Although they're trying to get it listed. I don't know if you guys
they
know
really
that.
Are.
Yep.
There's, you know, those kinds of currencies, there's hundreds or thousands maybe even by now. Who knows? And a lot of people tried to start them in countries and all that. But I don't really feel comfortable with any of it.
Well, and I think what they're trying to do, too, is do like an ETF with those currencies. So maybe you buy and you get into like 15 of them, different ones.
Well, it doesn't really exist. It exists electronically, but so does most of our transactions every day. You know, mostly what we do is electronic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we don't really see the paper money, most of us.
So, you know, Bitcoin's high risk. You know, it could go from 5,000 down to 3,000, or it could go, you know, back up to 10,000. So my advice to the gentleman that called in, because we don't know a lot about it, is just whatever you put in there, just realize you can lose quite a bit of it.
Mm-hmm. It was almost
more of a gamble play than a solid, you know, financial bet. So.
Well, there was a lot of talk about the underlying technology, the blockchain, and I think that's still going to be coming into play in a lot of financial markets.
That makes it secure as far as ownership, but it doesn't mean the price is secure.
Exactly.
It was as high as $19,605 back in December of 2017. 19,650, almost at the 20,000 mark per coin back in 17. Of course, now it's 5,000. And you know, 5 years before that, it was 20 cents.
Yeah.
So if you got in at 20 cents and sold at 19, you did well.
Yeah.
Or 19,000.
There's actually guys who made, I mean, they Forbes doesn't have them on the top, you know, billionaire list, but there's some unknowns out there that have made
hundreds of millions.
Like a ton of money. They want to stay under the radar.
Yeah.
Hey, so I was talking about that repurchasing program, Tom, and I think Russ can help us out with this one. I know the government is doing everything they can to help with the virus and the market. But today they're doing some pretty big numbers here. They're buying $500 billion in 3 months treasuries, and then they're going to be spending another $500 billion on 1 month treasuries, and then they're going to be doing the $500 billion for the next each week for the next month. Right. To help, I assume that's liquidity.
Trying to prop it all up and stuff and liquidity, but...
Yeah, some of that.
The whole thing is scary to me because we're in a political election year and the thing is so heavily politicized. I don't know who can help with what. You know, with Congress, they voted in a bill and it was all pork, for the coronavirus. Don't know if they have an interest in helping the economy during election year because there is a political... How good do we want to be? So it's all an unknown to me.
They did a bill today, right? Correct?
Supposedly, if they get it done.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
but I heard of that bill. They're already starting to put in stuff about, abortion and just stuff that has nothing to do with the bill.
Trying to get around the Hyde Amendment and everything so that federal dollars can pay for abortion. And that's what you got to do to pass the coronavirus bill. And beyond that, there's so many rules. I mean, there's so many things that you have to do to triggers if you want to get into federal money. Like you have to have racial balance and prove that you have a right ratio of Caucasians and Asians and African-Americans and all of this stuff. And many will not do it because a lot of these facilities that are making, working in that biochemical, they started on this thing back in January. I mean, they've been working. They didn't wait. For government funding. Not that I wouldn't love to see government funding get behind whatever could help.
It'd be nice to see them work together.
Yeah,
just for something like this, pandemic, the coronavirus. Let's just pass the bill.
But they're politicians, and you elected them. You got to take a break.
We'll be right back. You, Mr. Buddy Talk.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
With Americans enjoying longer and more productive retirement than ever, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, we specialize in solid, dependable financial advice designed to work for you towards your objectives in retirement. Whether your personal situation requires low volatility liquid assets or longer-term investments with potentially higher investment returns, it's important to first discuss your options with a trusted financial advisor. For more information or to schedule a consultation, call 329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial Services, member FINRA, IPC.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Good morning. I'm Aziza Schuler with your KYMA News 11 update. A Yuma Catholic high school teacher was arrested and is accused of trying to have sex with a female student. Yuma police say the 59-year-old teacher was booked on charges of luring a minor for sexual exploitation and furnishing harmful items to minors. YPD says it was other staff members who reported the alleged inappropriate communication. Well, for 57 years, the Yuma Air Show has taken place at MCAS Yuma, but it seems year 58 just got caught in the ripple effect of the coronavirus, and we're confirming this year's event has been canceled. Also, the Crossroads Mission is facing a hardship after their family shelter flooded with sewage. Anything the sewage touched is contaminated. Now they are placing those who stay at the mission in other places, also reaching out to local churches for assistance. Thank you for watching KYMA News 11. We will see you right back here for more news.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, George Davis here, talking about what's going on in the economy. So one thing to keep in mind is about 70-75% of GDP, gross domestic product, basically comes from Americans spending money. That's the driving point. Americans spend money, GDP's good. They don't spend money, not good. So if you look at what's happened in the last couple of days, let alone a week, you know, with a lot of these events shut down and locally, the air show, I hear they're not going to have the Indian...
It's gone. Powwow's gone. The downtown bands playing on Main Street's down. It's gone.
And the women's...
Expo postponed.
Not happening. I mean,
yeah.
So basically what I'm coming at, though, is, you know, you get a big freeze by people not spending money and not going out, you know, that's going to have a pretty detrimental effect. So the big question is, what's the odds of us going into recession? And I'm not really smart enough to tell you that, but I've read a couple things. And one of these guys who I follow who's pretty good, he thinks there's basically about a 25% odds we go back into recession. But still, it's not 75% we won't. So that's
That's good. It's so many variables, you're right. I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, the whole thing right now that's causing it is a panic. How long does the panic last?
And it can change. I mean, you know, I mean, that 25% might turn to 50% if stuff comes out in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think, you know, it's kind of like, if I was Trump, I'd be a little worried too, because, you know, this thing can spin out of control, not because the fundamentals are bad with the economy, just that the fear of what people are doing and such is, you know, messing things
emotional.
Up. You have no control on that. You can't control people, their emotions, right?
No. I mean, well, communist countries control it by controlling the press and information and all that. In this country, we have freedoms. And unfortunately, the press can do whatever they want, and some of those have agendas.
You can travel state to state. And,
yeah, the big agenda, I'm sure, is going to the presidential election with a bad economy.
There's
right?
a lot of
that's
that.
Probably,
that's a lot of it.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? Not to talk politics, but, you know, well, I don't know if you read this, but it's not funny, but China is coming off, you know, because they have their own government media, but they're coming off blaming the virus that we started it over there on purpose.
Yes, they did.
Sabotage or something.
They have, and then that's been some of their generals as well as some of their propaganda people.
And what we're claiming is, in that city that it started, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Wuhan.
Mm-hmm. But they have a center there that does diseases.
More than one. There's biochemical laboratories that have done research into weaponizing.
For the future, how to get...
Weaponizing bio.
Yeah. So the question, too, was, did it come out of their own kitchen, you know?
No one knows.
No. They said they could trace it back to the beginning. That's
well,
right.
Yeah, if they had access. They don't have access.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do know that it didn't come out of the meat market as was first thought. You know, the way they sell meats out in the open market and livestock.
Well, it was an animal, like a bat or something.
That was the original thinking.
But they don't think that now?
Well,
no, they said that they've ruled it out.
Oh.
They've ruled it out that it came out of that market.
Now
they don't know.
There was a guy on this morning who I think they say he's pretty high up with the science of that. He was saying that every 14 days, somehow it changes a strand, whatever the heck that means.
There's
always
a more thing that
morphs
goes on,
into
something.
So that's probably the bigger fear, too, is that morphs.
But you realize that coronavirus has been around for a whole really long time. It's the common cold is what it is. Coronavirus. This is the 19th version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been dealing with it for quite a long time, this coronavirus, and this is a different manifestation.
More stronger.
Yeah, not a lot of people have been panicked about the cold.
So one lady had it up in Washington, and she made it through. I think she was 34 years of age.
Yeah.
But she wrote about it, because, you know, what is it, right? I mean, she basically said fever, and then she said she got chills and a body ache.
Basically,
everyone's been there before.
Mm-hmm. You realize that half of the passengers on the Princess Carnival cruise ship had tested positive for the coronavirus, never showed any symptoms at all.
I think some people it's mild and it doesn't affect them, and other people, and they say once it gets to your lungs is where you can become deadly, right?
It also has to do with age and with sex, believe it or not. So men are much more susceptible to death, like 2.17 versus 1 something. So, and I don't know if a sex change helps you, if you were going to do a sex change, if it would alter those statistics, George, so I don't know if I'd think about that.
Hey, but the reason to do it, George.
Yeah. But no one under the age of 9 has ever died from it.
And well, I've heard that the younger the kids are getting it.
But, well, compared to they're getting it. They're not having any bad symptoms.
Okay.
But up until like age 40, it's like 1.3% would die.
Mm-hmm.
1.3%. Once it gets into my age, which is 62, I think it's a 2.3% chance. And a lot of that is attributed to other underlying medical conditions,
right,
and weaknesses. The average age of death in this country is 77 years old. And all of them have come because they have some other underlying health weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And 31 out of the 41 have come from one location in Washington, which is a home for old people.
Mm. Well, what's the flu, Russ? About 30,000 a year on average?
It ranges, believe it or not, it depends on what you read, 3,000 to 70,000, depending on the strand and who you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
So it varies based on which strand hits, and some are more deadly than others.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this coronavirus 19 is basically a cold strand that has proven to be deadly, where cold strands in the past proved to just be annoying.
Right. Well, this COVID-19, and I'm a mathematician, so you got the numerator and you got the denominator.
Right.
So the bottom number is the death. We know that. We know what that number is. The top number,
we don't know.
Well,
how many people have actually had it.
So
that's why the percentages are higher. As you know how many have it, that would go down.
You never know that number.
So, yeah.
Hey, back to financial instead of health talk.
But to deal with financials, though, I heard this morning that once they get the test kits out, that anyone can get a test kit. You don't have to pay for it. For the first, people were worried that you would have to pay if you wanted to get tested once the kits come out. But the government says you can, get tested for free.
Well, yeah, I read something that they're forcing Blue Cross and all them to basically
pay for it.
Now, if you don't have any, then maybe that's a good
thing. Right, yeah. If you don't, uninsured or underinsured, then they don't have to pay for it.
Yeah. So. You know what? I mean, I don't think they even have enough kits to even cover, 5% of the population or something.
They were supposed to have 75,000 or 77,000.
Yeah. But I think it's one of those things, once they do start coming out, it'll come out pretty quick,
So it's a
pent-up demand. So.
You're on the air.
Financial advisor there.
Yes,
good morning.
I'm curious. Where are you located? I have a couple of questions relating to finances.
We're on 16th Street, right across from the Wells Fargo Bank, next to Smart and Final. It's 182 East 16th Street. And,
perfect.
Our phone number is 329-1700.
329-1700. You accept drop-ins and all that?
Yeah. We got five advisors there, so come on in and talk.
And you handle mutual funds, Roth IRAs, and all that, right?
Yep, we do all that. Yep, thanks.
All right, thank you very much, sir.
Hey, one of the things you want to do...
One thing that tells me, Tom, is you're not giving our number out and our location out enough. Someone has to call in to get it.
Just so you know, George, you got the mic too, buddy, so...
Hey, 182 East 16th Street, Yuma Investment Group.
So, one of the things you want to do in this down market, too, to your advantage, is, consider converting IRA money or even 401k money over to either a Roth IRA or a 401k Roth, which now they have 401k Roth.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being is Roth money is basically tax-free forever once you're beyond 59 and a half. So it's actually one of the best buckets to put money in because the government won't tax it. So if the market, if your accounts are down and you convert, you're going to pay tax on the money you converted. So say you had $10,000 and now it's worth $8,000 because the market dropped. Then when you convert, you have income tax on $8,000, not $10,000. So in these down markets, there's a reason to basically drag money over and convert it to Roth so it's tax-free forever. Now, why would you want to do that is, let's just say hypothetically you get a 7% return. It will double in roughly 10 years. So that money after it doubles will come out tax-free in a Roth or a Roth 401k. So the longer you keep it in there, the better type of account that is. So. That's something to do.
And that's also called a Roth in-service conversion for a 401k. So if you do have if you are working, you have a 401k, it's called a Roth in-service. You want to inquire about that. But like you're saying, Tom, right now, if you're going to take your IRA money, you're going to convert it to the Roth with the market being down, with the potential return power like you're talking about, that's why you would want to do it. So,
thanks, George.
I like that.
Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, George Davis. I got Russ Clark in here. Basically, just talking about what's going on in the markets and what to do. One of the advantages of, we talked about, because accounts are probably lower if you're in the stock market, good time to convert IRA money to Roth money or 401k to Roth 401k. One of the advantages of doing that is, you will pay tax on the money you convert. It's considered income tax. If you convert $20,000, that's $20,000 of income. But you get to pay that from outside money, right? You pay that outside your pocket. So that's one of the advantages, too, if you get close to retirement, if you think you're underfunded or you want to fund it more, would be to convert and pay that tax off to the side, because really what you're doing is you're making that account more valuable by being tax-free. So you're, even though the dollar amount stays the same, if you take $10,000 and convert it to $10,000 Roth, okay, you have the same $10,000, but now one's tax-free, one's not. So you're adding like 25-30%, whatever your federal bracket's at, you're adding value to that money, even though it's the same dollar amount. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no.
So it's a good way to supercharge your retirement. And a lot of people ask this, the government can change it, so I don't want to do it because, nothing's for sure. And usually what they always do when they make a change like that is you just get grandfathered in. So they might, rule out Roth IRA someday, but people that are in it can have it, the ones that aren't cannot. So, kind of important to do that.
Or you do it during the payroll tax holiday that we're talking about.
You want to talk about that a little more since you...
I just know they've been talking about it, but payroll tax holiday itself. I don't know what it means, but I've just heard it.
Something similar to what Obama did at one time, and that was a reduction in payroll taxes for a period, which would actually in cause an infusion of cash. I mean, people get a little bit more money in their paychecks and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the politics of it, I mean, I don't think it'll fly because, again, there's some politics pushing the other way and saying, well, those that don't work don't get any benefits. So.
Plus, it's going to be kind of slow, too. It's a little bit delayed.
It'll be fast if it's off your payroll.
Yeah.
But
in
2 weeks, you make more money.
Yeah, or 2 weeks or over the next month.
It's a confusion of trying to get people.
But I want to check the date.
Well, they talked about also just giving taxpayers a check, you know, so. Or a debit card that has a duration.
So speaking of that, in 2016, we had a $20 trillion deficit, and now it's at, George, what's our deficit at?
It was $20
trillion? $20 trillion in 2016.
And now it's $24 trillion.
$23.
Oh.
But as you can see, deficit's going up. I mean, and over time, that's not good. That's going to eventually, your kids, my kids, and when we get older, we're going to have to face the music someone's going through.
Right.
So,
well,
Trump's idea was to stabilize the economy, get things growing, and then he was talking his second term was going to be how to get the deficit.
How to get it paid down.
And, but the bigger thing, Medicare and Social Security are money's going to be depleted out of there if they don't change that either. So there's a lot of big decision making that people need to do, or we can financially keep kicking the can down the road, and that will affect everybody and be harder to fix if you just keep kicking it down the road. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this it's part of the uncertainty right now. The Fed buying more bonds and putting money into the market doesn't help the deficit, but. So these things do happen. I mean, this is a black swan event where things are going well, and all of a sudden you get thrown in a black swan mixed in with all the pink guys, white ones, and you don't see. So then we will get through it, and we'll be stronger and better for it. But that definitely doesn't help the deficit right now.
In 2019, the average saving rate for an American was 8%. So that's pretty healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think they said that's the largest savings amount since like 1960 or so.
Well, that's good. There.
But then 2007, 2009, I mean, the savings rate went to almost zero.
Mm-hmm.
So bad economy, but good economy, people save more. So.
Right. Well, the service industry is really going to take a hit. Waiters and people going out, and especially. Flying,
hotels, restaurants,
casinos.
Yeah.
But you can fly to, my buddy lives over in L.A., so you can fly from L.A. to Hawaii for $150 right now. Willing to go that. And then I think there were some passengers on a plane recently, and they all got upgraded because there wasn't very many people. They all got upgraded to first class.
Yeah,
everyone that was on the plane. That's how many were on it.
I know a lot of the airline stocks are down quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
and
them
the
are,
cruise lines.
A lot of them are cutting how many flights they do in a day. Which I don't blame them, right? If you have five flights going to Hawaii and they're not full, then cut it down to three or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't talk much about oil either, Colin. Oil prices, what's going on with Saudi Arabia and OPEC and Russia. But, the oil industry relies on airlines a lot. So they say that's also going to be adding to it. So. To kind of hurt that. So.
Yeah, so the question on there is, I think oil is, about 35 a barrel or something like that?
Yep, 34.
But the question on there is, how long are these guys going to play chicken? Because I think they are basically having disagreements with OPEC on how to cut. So I think Russia is pumping out more oil, and Saudi Arabia said, we're going to do the same thing if you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of oversupplying, so...
Well, Russia's basically said, we're tired of keeping the price up and helping the U.S. with the fracking we're energy independent now, and I think it's, $40 a barrel?
They make money above 40, but really the fracking guys can't make any money below 40.
Yeah.
So it could have been a strategic move against us.
It was. And they're hoping that some of the little guys will fall off
back
later.
It always goes back to Russia. But the point is, you know, that could have been a play.
Well, that's their lifeline, oil.
To
so they're trying
to knock out. Yeah. But they're, you know, I don't know. The good news with the oil is the quickest way to put money back in people's pocket is through gas. Everyone, you know, everyone gets gas, and that's the quickest way to do it.
Through the price of gas, yeah.
Well, it's coming down, but.
Sure doesn't come down as quickly as
it's got to be.
So I actually got an interesting stat here. It says for every $100 spent on clothes and shoes, the average American household spends $198 at gasoline stations. So that means you spend double what you spend on clothes and shoes. And $296 at the grocery store, which includes beer, wine, and liquor.
Mm.
And then they spend $299 at restaurants and bars. So basically what that's saying is typical American will spend more money eating out than buying groceries. Which,
that's true and sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all the areas that are probably going to get hit, you know. I mean, people are going to travel much, gasoline, grocery stores, restaurant bars. So. Hey, I had a guy in Yuma who's in a business, and he has about 280 employees that work in a building doing something. I won't mention the name, but... Anyway, I told him, I'm like, hey, if you have an outbreak, you know, that could shut your business down pretty quick, you know. I mean, half the people don't show up, or even they.
Well, look at the NBA. One player got it, so you know, few of them showed up. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, basketball—they're touching each other. I mean,
sweat.
I don't blame you. You know,
right.
That's probably the right thing to do. But they can control it, but anyway, so he said that they have. A facility in El Centro, they have one in Yuba, and they have one somewhere else. So they basically said, hopefully they all won't get infected, but they can make people work overtime in these other facilities if one gets contaminated. So
they don't have the option of working from home, like some people are talking about.
No, it's just the manufacturing.
Okay.
Show up to do it.
That makes sense.
But I guess the big thing is you know, and I could talk about my office. We got 17 employees. And, you know, if half didn't show up or more, I mean, that productivity goes right down the toilet. So imagine that was when you're making a product or something. And then the people that rely on your product don't have the product.
Right.
And we kind of seen that in with Apple in China, that Apple's having a hard time getting the components for their phones because China, you know, took off, you know, a couple weeks or whatever. So it's like a big snowball effect.
Well, China had eight reported cases in the last 24 hours.
Supposedly.
That's pretty good improvement.
Have you enacted policies at your business now as a result of coronavirus? Like handshaking policies?
Interesting to say that, because we had a meeting this week.
Mm-hmm.
We came up with like three-tier system. And our final tier, which I'll talk about, is we can do stuff over the phone and through joinme.com.
Oh, man.
And, you know, so the three-tier system of ours, we're not going to open the door, basically.
So you can wear your tie and shorts and just sit in your desk. And,
yeah.
Okay.
But I think you can.
Or at home, too.
Yeah. I mean, half of us can, you know, all the advisors can work out of the house if they got contamination and have to do that. But, yeah, anyways, I think everyone should have a plan because you never know. I mean, how about the radio? Do they have a plan?
Yeah, but I keep coming in. But I don't have to meet anybody.
I think so, yeah.
Live here.
But, you know, we got to do our part, too. A lot of our retirees are older, they have that
and they're gonna
higher
come
risk,
in.
So we need to be careful and, we're, you know, washing, everything that they're saying us to do with the washing and the hand sanitizers and bleach, so that's what everybody should be doing.
Anyway, we'll see you guys next time. This is Money Talk. Everyone have a good weekend.
Stay safe out there. All right, Yuma.
Derek Eggenberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone
the opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
from the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio. This is News Talk 560 KVLU.